This is former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer, and you're listening to Paying Attention with Tom Duggan on 980 WCAP, where everybody gets it, even in Louisiana.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
By tomorrow, I will rule the world!
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Welcome. You've got mail.
Paying attention!
Well, I must have not been paying attention when you were just talking to me. Do you think that you could repeat the question?
You voted something for it. Why don't you tell Tom where you would cut that budget now? Since you want to look at it after the fact, where would you
You know
cut
what I'm
now?
Talking about? The longevity.
Where would you
cut
it?
I told you, the longevity.
Well,
you
did
have,
you make a motion to
yes,
cut?
Yes, I did.
You did not make a motion
I
to
talked
cut.
About
That's a
it.
Dishonest statement. You talked about it,
I talked
but you
about
didn't
it
make
and
a
talk about
cut.
It.
That you, oh, you do plenty of talking, counselor. I'll agree
yes,
with you.
Yes, I
that.
Do. Absolutely.
You absolutely do a lot of talking,
you know,
but you don't do any motions.
When the
That's
longevity.
That's how you do it. That's a fair question.
When
it,
the
longevity. It's a fair question. Name the motion to cut.
Don't blow a gasket, Nancy. I told you that I've argued on the floor until my face
Where
turned
was the
blue
motion to cut?
About the longevity.
Did you move to cut any longevity, counselor?
You have lived for the day, and you're not looking
you,
for the
did
future.
Did you move to cut any longevity, counselor? Did you,
you know
make
something?
A motion to cut
I
any longevity?
I argued it, argued and argued.
Did she make a motion to cut?
I did argue it. I said I did not make a motion. I told you I argued the point until I was blue in the
did
face.
Did you make
and
a
no,
motion to cut?
You know what the problem is that you didn't listen. I've answered this question 7 times. Shall I put it in writing?
No, just answer it.
I did answer it.
You didn't make a motion to cut.
God, that never gets old. That's my tired ba-ba-ba-ba. Literally working on 40 minutes sleep.
You're always working on 40 minutes sleep.
Oh, my God. Seriously, if I could get 3 hours, I'm good. 40 minutes, I'm not good at all.
Oh, La Shua.
Oh, could you spare me the rhythm?
Everybody.
And hand me a bottle of something that's hollow. I can climb inside. It's a lifetime movie of the week. Starring you and I must have not been paying attention.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
When you were just talking to me.
Should we get the show on the road?
Do you think that you could repeat the question?
Apparently that's a no. Paul, should we get the show on the road?
I believe it should be on that street right now.
Very good.
Or is it the road?
978-454-4980 here on the Paying Attention radio program and all kinds of stuff going on in the Valley. And that includes the presidential race. I think you people don't really understand how privileged and fortunate we are. I think the two people sitting in the studio today kind of do after last night. But I don't think most people in the Valley realize how privileged and fortunate we are that New Hampshire is the first primary the first presidential primary in America, because all of the presidential candidates have to go through here to get to the White House. And even though we're in Massachusetts, we're so close to the border that it's a 5-minute ride for me, at least, and probably maybe, what, a 40-minute ride for you, Paul?
About that.
So yeah. It's a 40-minute ride for Paul, a 5-minute ride for me, maybe a 6-minute ride for Mark Gray, who's with us today. And to go up to, like, Salem, New Hampshire last night, but there's all kinds of events in Epping and in Exeter. I'm going to be, I think, at both of those for Mitt Romney this weekend. I know Huntsman's around. I know that I keep getting invited to these Buddy Romer things, and I only because
is he still in?
He's still in, and only because of time constraints, I haven't been able to get there, but I so desperately want to before Tuesday. But
guy was the governor of Louisiana, wasn't
Louisiana.
He? Then why isn't he getting any, zero? He's getting zero attention, not just a little
zero
bit.
Zero attention because they won't let him in the debates. And maybe that's a topic we can talk about in a little bit. But I just want to make the point that, you know, we take for granted what usually you have in your hometown, in your home area. And the privilege that we have, the people in Nevada don't have, the people in Hawaii don't have, the people in Montana don't have.
48 other states.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
Iowa
I mean,
has it.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, if you're in South Carolina, if you're in
their importance, But you once know, you, I mean, once you get past you know, the first couple of weeks, they start to get less important. Iowa, New Hampshire, right. South Carolina, really the big three.
And as you get further along, once by the time you get to like Virginia, North Carolina,
right. Super Tuesday,
you've really whittled down most of the candidates by that point anyway, traditionally, and it's impossible to get close to a candidate by that point because now they've got their Secret Service protection and they are high enough in the polls that they don't need to do one-on-one town halls. They don't need to go out and shake hands after their event. So
it seems that Iowa and New Hampshire are really the shaking hands states.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't even know what Iowa is. I mean, I don't get what Iowa does. I don't get what Iowa is. It has never made a difference in anything. It has never really yielded very much on the national political scene.
Yet they spend millions of dollars trying to win it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that my mom was telling me last night, and you never questioned my mom, like ever, as you found out last night. My mom was telling me.
You have no idea how blessed you are to have a mother like that.
Yeah. By the way, you're right. You're absolutely right. And to still have her around.
Yeah.
You know. Sorry, I lost my
really,
train.
I really enjoyed her last night.
All right. Thanks. I completely lost my train of thought. Though.
Very different than what's one would expect one mothers to be to have to mother somebody like yourself.
I have no idea what that means, but so that I don't get in trouble with anybody, I'm just going to maybe.
It took long enough, but I knew where he was going with it.
All right.
I was trying to say it as nicely as possible. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So anyways, I forgot what I was saying. So last night we were up in Salem, New Hampshire at Salem High School and was really fortunate to be able to get another one-on-one with Newt Gingrich. The Valley Patriot, Paul, we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about, for the second time in our 8 years at the Valley Patriot, endorsing a political candidate. Now, we have a policy at the Valley Patriot not to endorse candidates for two reasons. One, once you endorse one candidate, the other candidates won't spend money with you or won't return your calls because they figure you're in the other camp, which is not exactly true because if you look at the demographics of the people who read the Valley Patriot, two-thirds of the people who read our newspaper, according to our market surveys, don't agree with our national political opinions. They pick the paper up for the local news. They pick it up for Puppy Girl, mostly for Puppy Girl. They pick it up for Puppy Girl, the local news, the medical stuff, you know, some of the other features that we have in the paper. And only about a third of our readers agree with our political opinion on national issues.
And let me just add also that the ones that do endorse here are three human beings, correct?
Yes.
Out of the entire you know, staff and volunteers that you have.
Yeah, and we have, by the way, for the first time in a long time, I think we've got the biggest volunteer / staff we've ever had.
You know, just as an experiment, and you don't have to say this or publish it to the public, but I would be interested as to, you know, to take an informal poll as to how many Valley Patriot contributors and volunteers, you know, who they would vote for.
I could probably do that. That's one of the wonders of Facebook. I could actually throw that up online and find out what people think about. I would venture to say that it would probably be the same market breakdown, survey breakdown that we have of our readers. I think it would be the same percentage-wise, the same thing. I think you'd probably find about a third of them agree with us on our picks for candidates, national news, stuff like that. Although, even though only a third of our readers agree with us on our quote, national politics, which is the way the questions were worded, I would say that maybe a good 40% or more are Tea Party members or sympathetic toward the Tea Party cause.
I'd definitely say more.
You think more?
I would think.
Yeah. So, where were we? Oh, so we...
You didn't even say who you endorsed yet.
No, I haven't said who we endorsed, but I think it's pretty clear. I think most people know. We met with Newt Gingrich. We did a one-on-one with Newt Gingrich. We tried to get Mitt Romney. I'm still completely perplexed as to why the Mitt Romney people have completely blown us off.
Because he's stuck up.
That was Mark Gray. Mark Gray says because he's stuck up. We had our meeting. We talked about it. It was very interesting because we have one board member who's a libertarian who recently swapped over to Republican so he could vote in the Republican primary, but is still really libertarian. Anybody who reads Thinking Outside the Box on page – I think it's usually on like page 5 – by Dr. Chuck Ormsby, who's a professor here at Lowell University, University of Mass at Lowell. He's a staunch, strict, constructionist libertarian. I mean, there's almost nothing non-libertarian about Dr. Chuck.
Which would which would lead somebody to believe that he would be for Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, yeah. And for a long time, I think he kind of was leaning Ron Paul. Ralph, I know at one point was a very strong Romney guy. And I would say that, and maybe I'm talking out of school, but I would say that probably even as late as September, October, he was still a very strong Romney guy. Now, I have had zero conversations. In general, I have zero conversations with either one of them because they both have, like, their own lives. And I run the paper. I'm the president of the paper. I'm the publisher. And if I have a problem, I'll call them. If I have an issue that I'm not sure about, I'll call them. If I need input on something, if I need help with something, I'll call them. But we almost never just sit around and chat about politics. Like, you know, like in the old days when we first started the paper, we were printing like 12 pages and we had like six advertisers. We had plenty of time to sit around and just chat about politics. There was nothing going on. But now that we've become as big as we are, I almost never see Ralph unless I'm at the warehouse picking up papers. I almost never see Chuck unless we're signing each other's paychecks. Like once a month we get together and we sign each other's paychecks.
So you had to get together for this particular meeting,
though. Yeah, we had to get together to talk about our pick for president. And I was shocked that by the end of the conversation, it was a 3-0 vote for Newt Gingrich. Hmm. Absolutely shocked. And I will let Dr. Chuck, if he wants to call in to give his reasons, or Ralph to call in to give his reasons. But I'll tell you that I've always liked Newt Gingrich. I've always gravitated toward the more conservative candidate or the most conservative candidate. I have shamefully in my past voted for Alan Keyes. Was it Alan Keyes that ran?
Yeah.
Shamefully in my past voted for Pappy Cannon, both of which I severely regret these days. In the last presidential primary, even though he had already dropped out, I voted for Fred Thompson. And in the final in the last election, I couldn't bring myself to vote for John McCain, so I wrote in Fred Thompson. And so this year I looked at the field, and I know
By the way, did he win?
No, he dropped out.
Oh,
you mean from the write-in?
Yeah
no, not happening. So I guess as I'm stumbling through, because I'm really tired, so please pick up the slack, anybody, if you can.
Fred Thompson would have been a good candidate.
Fred Thompson, I think, would have been a great president.
You know, I don't understand. Yeah, that's what I meant, because he was a lousy candidate.
Yeah, it was a lousy candidate.
I don't get it, because there was such fanfare. Remember that 4 years ago for Fred Thompson? Is he going to get in? Is he not going to get in? He finally gets in. You'd think he'd be, you know, gangbusters.
He was the Rick Perry of 4 years
Bizarre.
Ago. Yeah.
Bizarre. Because he's such a great actor. He can pull off a speech. He can talk on the stump. He's got some charisma. But he was a dud. It was almost like he was forced in and he didn't want to be there. That's what it seems like.
Well, I think it's because he jumped in so late. Had he jumped in when he first said he was thinking of running and everybody said he would be the front runner jumping in, that's when he should have jumped in because the money would have flowed.
Then why didn't he? He knew that. He's not stupid.
When I chatted with him last week, he didn't really have an answer for me. Now, I don't know. I have no idea why he didn't, but I've always gravitated toward the more intellectual, the more conservative, and very seldom have I ever looked at electability. This year, and you and I have talked about this extensively on the show, yeah, I was really a Mitt Romney guy myself, just like Ralph, up until about September, because I was looking at electability. And as time went on, there was two things that happened that made me swap. One, it was the utter disrespect we got out of the Romney campaign, and it was because we had supported him for governor. By the way, when he was governor, he used to call into this program once a month to give a report when we were on the tired old Lawrence station. And we got to know him really well. He had endorsed my girlfriend who ran against Dave Teresi for state representative in North Andover. We spent a lot of time with him in the Merrimack Valley. We were at almost every event together. He used to pick her up at the house. He used to have a driver pick her up at the house and bring her to events so he could introduce her and he could, you know, extol the virtues of her candidacy. When he ran for president, we supported him. I remember driving to, like, East Nowhere.
You supported Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson wasn't in yet.
Okay.
But we drove to East Nowhere, New York. It was, like, way west New York, like, way, way out there for a couple of fundraisers to help him out. We phone banked. Yeah. We did everything.
I've been to North Nowhere. I've never been to East Nowhere.
This time around, I called his people. I had Christine Morabito, who's now the president of the Greater Boston Tea Party, who works with us on the paper.
The great pleasure of meeting
her
last night.
She's awesome. Yeah. By the way,
she's a good girl.
I know she doesn't want to date anybody. She's like in this thing. She doesn't want to date. Right. You two would be perfect. I'm convinced. And I've been telling her and you privately for a long time you guys would be perfect together. But she tried and I tried.
I agree with that.
We did everything humanly possible to try and give Mitt Romney, a one-on-one interview for free publicity in the paper. We would have given the same thing that we gave Newt. Front page headline, three pages inside of word for word of what the interview was. An interview on this program to let the people in Manchester and Nashua and all of our New Hampshire listeners hear what he had to say from him, not from us.
Okay.
And they just wouldn't even return our calls. Like, I even pulled a favor in and called Ron Kaufman, because I know Ron going back, like, when George Bush's father was president. And we got crickets from all of them. That was the first thing that started turning me around. Yes,
that's – and I got to tell you, as someone that is just watching the TV and knows him from the governor's office, that is the impression I get from him.
You got to get really close to that mic.
That's one of the reasons why I'm so turned off by him, is because that is the impression that he gets.
Yep.
I do not want someone that will not represent the people getting into office or higher office. I want someone who has a connection with the people.
Yep.
And I don't think he does.
Well, apparently there's a strategy going on here that we're not privy to.
Yeah, and it's working.
Apparently it is.
Yeah.
He's way up in New Hampshire.
The other thing that turned me around was the whole... and this is what actually started making me gravitate toward Newt, even though I always liked Newt. I was not supporting Newt because I didn't think he was electable. And what we need to beat Barack Obama. That's got to be the key. That's got to be what we focus on. When Mitt Romney and Michelle Bachmann, and it's what turned me off on both of them, began to make the following comment, I was done with both of them.
Damn.
At least as far as the primary goes. And that was when they both said, on multiple occasions, Newt Gingrich wants to grant amnesty to 11 million illegal aliens, which is an outright lie. It's just an outright lie. It's not a mistake. It's not a misunderstanding. It's an outright lie. They were both standing in the room when he said what he said, and he never said, intimated, or hinted that he wanted to give amnesty to anybody, or much less 11 million illegal aliens.
I'm going to disagree with you in spirit, because if you had seen Tom's face, you would have enjoyed that. Mitt Romney said that Newt is for a form of amnesty.
No,
I think
that
I
was
think
when that's... he modified it afterwards. Right after that debate, the night of the debate, he came out and said, well, Newt Gingrich wants to give amnesty to 11 million illegals. And for the next 3 to 4 days on Fox News, MSNBC, he did interviews on almost all of them saying the exact same thing.
Well, I don't know about that. You might be right.
Oh, I'm making it up.
I don't have a problem with it being a form of amnesty. In a sense, it is. It's not full amnesty, but it's a form or partial amnesty.
Yeah. And to me, it's just an outright lie.
Well, look at what it did to Perry. So if you throw amnesty and illegal at any candidate, you're going to crucify him. Because look what it did to Perry. Jumped right off the bat. He was number one. The second that the public found out that he gave, he was in favor of giving money, tuition money for illegal people in Texas, it finished him.
Yeah, it did.
He was done.
He was done.
Nobody would support him after that.
Well, that couples with his horrible speaking, skills in those debates.
It
didn't do him any
so
favors.
We did interview other candidates. We interviewed Buddy. We interviewed mostly the lower candidates.
Yep.
No disrespect intended. Buddy Romer, who was a great interview. We said hello, and he talked for 40 minutes. Like on the first question, I don't think he took a breath. We interviewed Thaddeus McCotter when he was still in. He was still just trying to get into the debates.
Yeah.
Who I think is, other than Newt, probably the most intelligent guy I've ever interviewed. And I'm pretty sure that Christine Morabito, president of the Greater Boston Tea Party, will probably agree with that because the two of us interviewed him. We tried to get Ron Paul.
Mm.
And every time we got close to Ron Paul, one of the whack job loons on the Ron Paul campaign would identify us as the enemy, and we couldn't get close to him.
Really?
Yeah. We're the enemy of Ron Paul. We're the enemy.
How'd you become the enemy?
That's how they consider it. Well...
You're not a libertarian.
I guess they're not exactly wrong about that. But, as I said before, not everyone who reads my paper, not everyone who listens to the show agrees with my opinion. And they ought to be reaching out to us as the vehicle to reach those people. Because unlike the Tribune, unlike the Sun, unlike the Globe, we don't have the philosophy that if we like you, you can do no wrong, and if we hate you, you can do no right, and we're going to skew all of our stories based on that philosophy. I mean, there's a Ron Paul supporter, her name is Tina, on Facebook, who wrote a negative story about Newt. It was factually correct. So I posted on her wall, "If I'd like to reprint this to give the other side." And immediately this moron, Dave Kopasz, starts he's a Ron Paul guy, starts posting all this stuff. Why don't do it? Don't do it. It's a rag paper. It's a
really?
They're really with Gingrich. Why would you do that? Well, because not everyone agrees with us, you dope.
So immature.
Well, and that, but that's what you're dealing with Ron Paul. So a few times I went up to New Hampshire, found out where he was going to be from one of our spies in the Ron Paul camp. And my gig is always find out where they're going to be at X time, and then find out where they're going to be at Y time after that, and then try and figure out how they're going to get, like what the route is from A to B, and try and be somewhere along that route so I can stick a microphone in front of their face and just ask them a couple of quick questions. Man, the minute we even got within 15 feet, we heard, "Valley Patriot, he's the enemy, he's the enemy." And that was it. We couldn't get close. That was it. Like, we couldn't even. So we did endorse Newt Gingrich. I think Newt Gingrich is, at least in my opinion, for what it's worth, probably not a lot, but I think he, A, can beat Barack Obama. I think, B, would be the best president of all the candidates that are running. I would not be unhappy with Mitt Romney. I don't dislike Mitt Romney. I have nothing personal. I'm not holding a grudge because he blew us off. I just couldn't endorse him because he wouldn't sit down and answer the hard questions. I would not be unhappy with Rick Santorum, and I've got clips of Rick Santorum for later on in the show to play with Paul on, because we had a long conversation last night about Rick's appearance in Windham High School, which Christine and I were at the night before. So I don't even know what was last night, Friday? So it would have been Thursday night. So that's what happens when you get no sleep. All right, let's just start the show. You want to start the show? Let's take a quick break. And this is just kind of like the pre-show warm-up.
I'm ready.
All right.
Ready, Freddy.
When we come back, I think we have a member of the Lawrence Recall is going to be calling in. In the next hour, Craig Floyd from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund is going to call in to talk about the increase in police deaths across America, significant increase in police deaths in the line of duty. And in between, and for the rest of the show, we're going to talk about Lawrence, we're going to talk about Methuen, and we're going to play some clips of the presidential candidates, of all of these presidential stuff things that we've been to. Tom Duggan, Paul Morano, and Mark Gray in the studio today. Timmy Bowmill as our producer. We'll be back after this on Paying Attention, where everybody gets it, WCAP 988.
You. This is Willie Lantigua, and you are listening to the Paying Attention. Listen carefully, sir. Prestando Atencion, the radio program with Tom Duggan, the chief.
Now we have the head of the Trauma Intervention Program in Methuen. Her name is J.N. Landry. They were cleaning up a spot over on the east end of Methuen for a healing garden. And J.N., how are you?
Very good. We have about 100 volunteers. The mayor was here first thing. The mayor beat me to the site this morning, so yeah, he was here first thing this morning.
But let's be fair. He never picked up a rake, though.
And listen, I had a rake. You just didn't see it.
Yeah, what was it, invisible rake?
Well, actually, Tommy, imaginary. You know what I did after I heard what you said on the air? I went home and I photoshopped in a rake into my hand for those photos.
We're going to have to, in full disclosure, when we put that in the Valley Patriot, we are going to have to put a little thing at the bottom that it was photoshopped.
Yeah, that's okay. As long as people see the rake there, that's but all
you
that
must
counts.
You must be out of breath holding that camera all morning, though, huh?
Okay, this is Methuen Councilor Bill Manzi, and you are listening to the Paying Attention radio program. And now back to Sharon Pollard's secret love interest, Tom Duggan.
All right. Welcome to the Paying Attention radio program. Tom Duggan, Paul Morano, and Mark Gray sitting in the studio. Talking a little bit about the presidential race, very badly, I think, at least on my end. See if we can't rescue some of this show at this point. We are waiting for a call from one of the organizers of the recall against Mayor Willie Lantigua, the chief, who brought us back from the break. Always appreciate Willie Lantigua helping us with those kinds of things.
How's that recall going?
This is Willie Lantigua, and you are listening to the Paying Attention. Listen carefully, sir. Prestando Atención.
He rocks.
The radio program with Willie Tom Dugan, the chief.
And of course, that's where Willie Lantigua, the chief, came from.
Yeah, that's exactly where that came from, right? He actually grabbed me one day, not long ago, maybe a couple of years ago, and said, you know, Tommy, I was saying you the chief. I was saying you are El Jefe. That's what I was saying. This is when we were talking up until like a day before the primary. And he says, so you shouldn't be calling me the chief. You're the chief. Now he doesn't even say hi to me. Now I'm nothing. Now I'm just pawn scum to the guy.
And now he's the chief.
Now he's the chief. And now he's really the chief. Yeah. He's in charge of the chief. He's in charge of the police department.
The chief of Lawrence.
Big recall going on against Willie Lantigua,
the
chief.
Is that going
to work? No.
No?
I don't think so. But we're hoping.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the recall people get mad at me when I say that it's going to fail because there's a common perception in politics that if you keep saying something will succeed, people will jump on the bandwagon and it will succeed. And sometimes that's true, but I really don't think in this case that it is.
Not enough people?
Yeah, I don't think if every pundit on TV came out tomorrow on the Sunday shows and said John Huntsman's going to win, I still don't think John Huntsman's going to win. And I think when it comes to the recall, we could all sit here and say the recall is going to succeed, but I still think it's a big uphill battle for them.
What percentage of the electorate in Lawrence needs to sign this thing?
What do they need? We'll ask the guy when he calls in. I used to know when I used to sleep, I used to know the answer to that question. I think it's like a couple thousand anyway.
Okay.
They need at least a few thousand votes. Well, Mark, you should know this.
Yeah, well, the amount is over 5,000, but the percentage, I believe, is around 30.
30% of those who voted, approximately?
In the last mayoral election.
Eligible to vote.
Oh, eligible to vote. Oh, that's a little different than voted.
Yep.
Okay.
So
that's a lot of people.
They're giving this their third shot. What gives them, I think, a better shot this time than the last few times is that they finally kicked the attorney, Anthony DeFruscia, they finally kicked him off the recall. And I think that was a huge impediment to the first couple of recalls. This might even be the fourth recall, maybe the third. I've lost track. The media fervor in Boston has died down on Willie Lantigua. The media fervor in Lawrence has died down on Willie Lantigua. And full disclosure, the media fervor on this program has died down because he hasn't really done anything monumentally stupid lately that we've at least found out about.
Well, yeah.
Mark disagrees.
By name, but all you got to do is pick up a paper on any given day and look at the crime that's going on in the city.
Yeah, absolutely true.
You got people getting pistol whipped every single day, shot at, cars being stolen.
Isn't that par for the course for Lawrence, though?
Yeah, but it's a spike. I mean,
but why? Okay. Yeah, you're right. Tom's right that it's a spike. but I always say, so why do you accept that, though?
You should
be zero. If there were 10 murders last year, how on God's green earth is that acceptable to anybody?
Yeah, I think in 2011, we had more murders than we've had in the last 25 years.
And you know what amazes me about it?
That's a Tribune figure, though, so don't take it at face value.
What amazes me is that you have, and again, we go beyond the name, go beyond the murder, is that you have a city council that meets every single month and does nothing about it.
Yeah, not a thing.
It's not on the forefront to them.
Yeah.
10 people died last year. People getting pistol whipped on a daily basis. You can see the videos of it on the daily paper. And city council members act as if nothing's going on in the city.
What's worse, though, Mark, is that the city councils act as if it's not their business.
That's too.
That's what makes me nuts, is that when you have issues like this, you have city councilors who are gutless and sit there and do nothing and pretend that it has nothing to do with them. And it does.
Absolutely.
They are leaders in this community, and they need to do something about it.
I even tried to address it on my level. I tried to go through the police department because the schools were funding, giving money to the police in an enormous tune of about $250,000.
Yeah.
And I wanted to cut $100,000 off of that because you never got any feedback from the police department. I emailed the chief. I emailed a bunch of different people. I wanted to get numbers on how many of these crimes were being committed by juveniles or people 18 and under. And so that the schools could try and curb that mentality, that sense of violence that they have in the city. You know, we could do something. Whatever we could do, that, you know, we need to do something.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get any information out of anybody.
You couldn't even get a city council. We're going to take the call on us. We couldn't even get the city council when Willie Lantigua was accusing cops or was accusing the police department of being racist and accusing them of they were going to plant drugs in his car. Remember, if they arrest me, they're going to plant drugs in my car. Well, I mean, all of these accusing the firefighters of purposely going slowly to fires so that the fires would rage out of control and they would need more mutual aid to make it look worse than what it was.
Yeah, that's,
accusing
that's
firefighters
insane.
Of setting fires. And you know what we got out of the city council is save one. Save Mark LaPlante. The other eight city councils, we got crickets. That's what we got. These guys are supposed to be leaders in the community, and we got crickets out of them. I hope the recall wins. I mean, I think Willie Lantigua should be recalled for a myriad of reasons. We've talked about them extensively on this show.
Well, after that, shouldn't you start recalling the city council then?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you can't.
You should.
Yeah, there's no recall for two-year terms.
It should have been written into the city charter, which should have been done over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in 8 pages of what I wanted to add into the new city charter.
Yeah, but you write 8 pages in an email.
No, I had 8 pages written up for this. I submitted it during the city charter talks.
Yeah.
Right. And part of that was mechanisms and methods of recalling anyone, school committee, city councilors. I'll tell you, if you're a corrupt politician, I wanted you out.
Yeah.
I wanted to make it easy.
And what's really scary is if Willie Lantigua gets indicted tomorrow, he can remain as mayor of Lawrence. He can continue to collect his paycheck, even if he doesn't make bail and he's sitting in jail. There's nothing in the charter that says if you're indicted or if you disgrace the city, or there's nothing that says you can get rid of the guy other than a recall petition.
That would be very funny to have a mayor in jail sitting there.
Yep. All right, we have Mr. Hernandez on the line. He's one of the people involved in Lawrence United, the organization that is running the recall petition. Are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for having me on the air.
Well, thanks for calling in. Now, you're running the recall petition. What is the deadline that you have to have these signatures in by, and how many signatures do you need?
We have until January 14th, 5 p.m., this Saturday coming up, to turn them in. We have to get 15% from the last presiding elections, which was November 18, making it 5,382 signatures that we need.
And where are you now? How many do you have?
We're doing good. We're not giving a count, but we're trying to reach our goal of 7,000. We're making it there. We're asking folks to help us out, since the city has been playing games with us to begin with. If we make this possible, we really had 20 days to collect these signatures, since they played around with the first 7 days, first issuing them on the 14th, going in to pick them up from City Clerk Maloney, not having them ready, then telling me to come in the next day, the 15th, then to tell me 3 days after that the petitions are not good, they're invalid, not responding to my letter why they were, and then me picking them up on the 22nd of December. So we just asking folks, we're out in the streets now. We have about 30 people out in the streets right now going door to door, letting folks know that we're still going strong. We're making it there. We're asking them to, you know, give us a call if they want us to make it to them. We're also at Carlene's every day from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. over on Andover Street and Broadway. And just help us out. We can only get this done if only people jump on board and support this effort to recall Mayor Lantigua.
I'm already concerned about one thing that you said, and that's that you don't have a count. Are you turning sheets in every day and getting them certified?
No. The reason why we're not doing that is because we had asked the city clerk if we will get a tally after they get verified, and they said no. They wouldn't be able to tell us nothing towards the end. So it was pointless in turning them in. But we are checking. The only thing, we have petitions out, and we have to verify them. So I don't want to go and say we have, you know, 5,000 when we have to verify to make sure that they're valid signatures.
He has to challenge it.
I'm really concerned about the fact that you listened to Billy Maloney, the city clerk of Lawrence. Once you turn those in, it's public record. If they're knocking names off as they go, which they have to do, they have to give you a count. They have to. And
this is what we've been dealing with. We send it in writing, asking them of the city attorney Bodie and Maloney, said the same thing. We wanted it just so people can know how we do it. But, yeah, they didn't want to give us a count, so we didn't feel comfortable giving them the original copy.
Yeah, the other thing is by turning them in as you go, the time that Willie Lantigua has to challenge those signatures starts from the minute you turn those that specific signature sheet in. So I'm really concerned about this because it seems as though that this is going to be a bigger hurdle now for you guys to get over. Give us the phone number. Is there a website where people can go where they can get more information, a phone number, an email?
They can go to facebook.com/unitinglawrence as well. I can be reached at 978-378-0811 for folks that can't come out for whatever reason, disability, or just can't make it out. We'll make it out to them, as well as Carlene's Coffee Shop. We'll be out there every day from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Now, there was a story in the news this week, and because it was in the daily paper, we don't know if it's true, that a police officer, we don't know who yet, although I've got a pretty good idea, that a police officer in Lawrence illegally released your juvenile record, and that on a website that is either sponsored by or supports Willie Lantigua, that not only did they post it, but they didn't black out your Social Security number, they didn't black out some of your personal information. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. On Wednesday morning, I received an email just confirming somebody posted something on Uniting Lawrence regarding my criminal record. Now, I have no adult record. When I was 13, I committed a few mistakes, which I've been open about, trying to lead as an example for other youth out there going through the same problems so they can turn their lives around. But the documents that they got, they're just not any regular background that someone can get online. It's a document that only comes from the police station. And it was posted on United Lawrence as well as Yono Freeman website against the recall, as well as Canary website. It's a Dominican website, as well as Consular Mark LaPlante. I'm pretty sure just trying to discredit him in the sense of why he's supporting the criminal. You know, I've changed my life around since then, and there was no need for it. I mean, in the sense of putting my Social Security out there, my date of birth, my mother's maiden name, all the information that you need to commit a identity theft.
It's unbelievable. But you know what's interesting, Mr. Hernandez, is that those people who are attacking you for having a juvenile record, Willie Lantigua himself has a non-juvenile record. He's got an adult record. He was arrested and spent time in Middleton for two offenses. One we're not going to talk about today because I want to make sure that I check it with a lawyer so I don't get sued. The other is when he was a deadbeat dad and refused to pay his child support, was picked up, was held in Middleton, went to court, and actually told the judge in his pleading that he shouldn't have to pay child support because he got his ex-wife a job working for the city of Lawrence at the police department. And as far as he was concerned, that should be considered him providing for his family.
Yeah, that's bizarre. That's crazy.
So you're a criminal for what you did when you were a kid, but he's not a criminal.
Yeah, that's why I say I was a kid, now I'm an adult, which is his excuse, being an adult. But it's a dirty tactic. Like I said, on Yono Fima back on November 8th when the first affidavits were rejected because they weren't notarized, Patrick Blanchett had posted on Yono Fima about that I should get a new lawyer because I'm so young and with 16 charges. So it just makes me wonder, you know, who are the ones that were asking for these police records. Can't point no fingers, but just makes me wonder who's involved behind this. Just being mature about it. I'm not being like the mayor that accused me of popping his tires when he knows that there's so many crimes going around. He should have, you know, not pointed the finger this way. So, but
I'm just glad he blamed you and not me.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm second on his list right now.
Yes.
When the recall's over, I'll go back to first. Trust me.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, well, we're still going strong. We just actually, like I said, it's been unfair from the beginning. We only have 20 days to collect 5,382 signatures, and we're on numbers, but we have to surpass that number because he's going to challenge so many signatures. We're verifying them to make sure that they are registered voters as well as supporters that he sent in to sign the recall petition. So later on, they can say somebody from the recall team, you know, tricked them into signing it. So we're making sure and letting people know that this is to remove the mayor. and we're verifying their information. We've caught a few people that had tried to sign and coming up with bogus names and then not wanting to sign after, not wanting to register. So we already know the little dirty tactics that he's using to make sure that this recall doesn't happen.
All right, listen, Mr. Hernandez, we appreciate you calling into the program. Honestly, I wish you all the luck in the world, though I think you've got another uphill battle on your hands. If this fails, are you guys going to try again?
Yeah, I'm not stopping until he gets that offer.
Yeah, good. Keep him busy.
In this city.
Yeah, that's good. Keep him busy. The more he's focusing on that, the more he's not screwing other people.
Yes, we need the support of the residents of Lawrence. We need them not to be scared. We need them to stand up for what is right. We're the ones that give him the power that he has and trying to intimidate others, and we can't allow this to continue to happen. I'm doing it for my family, but I'm also doing it for the residents and neighbors here of Lawrence to make a difference. And I need people to just stand up and fight for what is right. I got nothing to win out of this. I'm not a politician. I'm not looking to be recognized. I don't win nothing out of this, you know, besides sacrificing family time. But I need, you know, Lawrence to stand up. As he says, we're enemy of the people. We're not. We are the people. We are the city of Lawrence, and we need people to stand up for what is right.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate
All right.
it, and good luck.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right.
Bye.
And there's a guy that's just got an uphill battle. I mean, I really think that had they done it right the first time, not only would it have gotten on the ballot, but Willie Lantigua would have been recalled. I think even now, if they were successful in getting it on the ballot, I don't think they'd win at this point. I think Willie would have all of his Dominican supporters out there. He would be bussing them to the polls and pulling the same election shenanigans that he does when he runs or when he runs a candidate, and it would probably lose at this point unless something were to happen, unless there's an indictment, unless something new happens that's negative. I think.
But what's different about this point than the first point?
Well, because I think
Willie has more time to gather.
Since the first recall, let's remember what was going on when the first recall was announced. You had Michelle McVie on the FM radio station every single night talking about Willie Lantigua. You had the $35 million bailout loan that he lied about, that everybody knew he lied about. He was at that time making comments about cops planting evidence and firefighters, you know, setting fires. So,
but that was before the state took over the education system.
That's correct.
Now you have that, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like that has generated a lot of fervor, at least not in the media. In fact, I haven't really seen a whole lot in the media about the fact that Willie Lantigua, as a failed mayor, has thrown his hands up and said, "I can't fix the schools. The state has to come in and do it." And I love his excuse, by the way. They've failed because of Mike Sullivan, of course. It's George Bush's fault.
Right.
But let's remember, Willie Lantigua ran for office promising the Dominicans of Lawrence that he could fix the city and that he could fix the schools. And if they elected him, he was going to be the guy that could turn Lawrence around. And here we are 2 years later at his halfway point, and he's thrown his hands up and said, "Sorry, can't fix it. It's so bad after my 2 years of screwing around with the school department that we need the state to come in and take over." And I really think it's just a power grab because him and Deval Patrick are buddies. And this is going to give him more power, and it negates the power of the school committee. Now all he has to do is convince his fellow hacks at the state level to go along with what he wants rather than elected members of the public.
So he's going to make it through all 4 years.
Oh, I think he'll make it all 4 years, even if he's indicted. Even if he's indicted and convicted, he'll make the whole full 4 years, and he'll probably get reelected.
That's what I was – but he won't get reelected if he's indicted
and
convicted.
No, if he's in jail – and he can sign the papers. Somebody brings him the papers to sign.
Yeah.
He'll still get reelected in Lawrence. Now, that's not hyperbole. I'm not like being exaggerative for the radio. I'm telling you right now, and I've been following Willie for 20 plus years. If Willie is in jail around reelection time in 2 years, and he's in jail on election day, and he's been convicted of federal crime, Willie Lantigua still wins by 1,000 votes.
Mark, any comments on that one? I don't know what to say about that.
Am I wrong, Mark? Do you agree, disagree? It's radio. You can't nod.
Integrity dictates that I disagree with it. But going through these elections and watching how people vote and why they vote, I have to agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And nothing, I think, highlights that more than the Sammy Reyes race up in Tower Hill in Lawrence.
Well, what does Lawrence want?
Let me give you an example why Tom is right.
Why?
When you have your cars being broken into, your homes being broken into, people have waving guns in front of you, prostitutions and drugs being dealt with openly out in the streets, and you continue to vote for the same elected officials over right. and over again.
Yes.
If being shot at is not enough to make you change yeah. who you vote for,
yeah.
it ain't never going to happen.
Yeah, he's right.
Unless you're dead pushing up daisies.
Then what do these voters of Lawrence want?
Willie Lantigua. They want Willie Lantigua. They want him.
They must want something Lantigua promises to do.
Well, it's he's one of us. He's Dominican. We're Dominican. He's one of us. B, because he's Dominican, he understands Dominican politics. And most of the Dominicans in Lawrence, I would say a great majority of the Dominicans in Lawrence are first-generation Dominicans, at the very least first- and second-generation Dominican. Well, and they want someone who represents them, not so much represents their views, but represents their ethnicity, represents their culture, represents their way of thinking politically.
Let me ask this very Reagan-esque question. Are they better off? Are the Dominicans better off today than they were 2 years ago?
Absolutely not.
Then, I happen to be in love with human reason.
Yeah.
Why then would they vote for someone to whom that makes their life worse?
Because they don't see the connection.
There's no connection between the mayor and how the city is going.
Right. They don't see the connection. They don't see.
Then why did they vote for a mayor if there's no connection?
Oh, well, when you talk about the crime, I don't think they see the connection at all, because the prevailing belief among most Dominican voters is that the cops are racists, that the cops do hate blacks and Latinos. There's a huge hostility among Dominicans specifically, but I think Latinos in general. And this is not racist. I'm just giving you my observation after living this for the last 40 years.
I'm telling you, it's not.
They
racist.
Hate authority. They hate the police. They hate the military.
There's a division with the police department. The police is an issue in that city. It is a dividing issue.
That's because they come from a country where the police are so corrupt.
But it's not a Dominican issue. There's other people.
Yeah.
Look at the police department, and they don't like it.
All right, coming up in the next hour, Craig Floyd from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. Talk about police deaths, then we're going to go back to the national stuff. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Willie Lantigua. Talk about the presidential candidates back after this. On Paying Attention on WCAP, where everybody gets it.